have no idea what those entail. And in fact, one year somebody brought like a jar full of what appeared to be feces.
Oh.
somebody had a full size working motorcycle once.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. So there's that. This year we have a stage direction.
Mm-hmm.
So that we give them a random stage direction that they have to incorporate a sound effect.
Right.
In the past, one of the things we did that was fun was a lighting cue.
Oh.
So they got one specific light or state that they had to incorporate into their play at some point. So
and how long is each play?
About 15 minutes, but depends. I mean, gosh, sometimes they go long. Mm-hmm. And some of them are short, but depends on the inspiration. And because it's such a limited time, you often don't have a lot of chance to run through it and find out how long it really is. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. There's definitely an element of the of surprise and of improv mm-hmm. in all of this, it sounds.
Sure. I mean, to the companies as well as to the audience. Mm. They're surprised, and stuff works that you didn't think was going to work, and I mean, the there's just so much excitement in the audience too that it's one of the most fun places to perform because they know you just wrote this last night or you know, I was involved in a group once performing in the festival where we wrote our play and we kind of rehearsed it, and this was like towards we were about 30 hours into the 48-hour process. And then we were kind of like, I don't know, it's all right. What else could we do? And we scrapped everything that we had done.
Oh, my gosh.
And totally rewrote it, and it turned out to be, one of the best ones I've ever been involved with. It was totally hilarious.
I often wonder what it is about limited amounts of times. I mean, perhaps journalists say it all the time, and lots of artists say it, that there is no time like the last minute to get really creative ideas. What is it about that rushed sense or that limited amount of times that really brings out people's best in terms of creativity or boundary bending?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think one thing is that people say, you don't have time to, like we always say, they're not waiting around for a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Oasis by Diana Hartog. The sound of each other rustling, the easy exchange through the air of insects and birds. Noon into the south, mercury shimmers in the wind tousled palms. Near they loom as mammoths, skirted with brown, drowned, drooping layers of years vulnerable to a dropped match, a stray spark catching the imagination where a trunk issues blackened and shorn. In the hallowed clearing, palms towering in a shaggy ring, recurs the wedding of place and time attended by a sand beetle and mourned by the wind, which foresees with a rustle of taffeta the early death of the bride. With evening, what has died is the wind. On the bluff, every creosote bush has gathered to a nucleus its quail for the night, all one can safely know. The birds doze in circles, facing out, ready to scatter in overlapping rings at the slightest mention. Drifting, the high moon keeps its distance, holds it close, as I would be held. Let me guess, in a pool half hidden by reeds floats another moon, gilded, tremulous from the glide of a water spider. Am I close? Am I even warm? Good evening, everyone. My name is JC Peters, a little bit of lovely feathers in the background for you. It's Wednesday evening, October 28th. This is another episode of Audio Text, your Canadian writing show. I realize I probably should have done something for Halloween today, which is coming up on Saturday, obviously, but I'm not, let's say because everyone else is and I'm trying to be original. Also because coming up tomorrow night, there's going to be a very special slam happening. It's a women's invitational slam happening at the Cottage Bistro, so I'm going to be showcasing some of the women who are going to be involved in that particular show. But before we get to all that good stuff, what I like to call the meat of the show, a few listings for you for things that you'd like to go and see. around this city, this beautiful city of Vancouver. So, happening tonight, later tonight, as soon as you finish listening to the show, you can run over to Café du Soleil and see the October Team Slam. So, this is another in the series of Team Slam competitions where a team made up of the Svelte Miss Spelt, Lisa Slater, Clint Father Goose Wilson, and Zacchaeus Jackson are going to take on all comers in Team Slam competition. Rumor has it that Spilius the Ridiculous One has a team en route. Sweater Vest may return, and you yourself can be involved if you go and check out the slam, as long as you get there by 8 p.m. to sign up. There's also going to be an open mic if that's what you'd rather do, and also would rather see, and it's going to be a $5 to $10 sliding scale. So Commercial Drive and Fifth, that's at Café du Soleil. Friday night, there is another open mic at Christiane's Lyceum, and it's Halloween themed, so the prompt is Wicked. That's the concept that the open mic is going on. This happens every other Friday night at Christiane's Lyceum. It's 3696 West 8th Avenue. Sign up starts at 8. It's a $6 cover, and cheap drinks, like $3, so I don't know why I've never been there. It's kind of weird. Sounds really nice, so go and check that out at Christiane's Lyceum. Saturday, all day, Elfsar Comics and Toys is presenting a comic book event with free giveaways, raffles, and readings and signings with Abby Denson, Ryan Morris, Larry Krause, Robin Mitchell, Sean O'Reilly, and Ethan Peacock. So that's going to be an all day from 11 till 7. That's 1007 Hamilton Street. If you'd like more information about that, it's www.elfsar.com, ELFSAR.com. Monday, November 9th, there's another poetry slam, but there's a very special one. It's going to be a haiku death match. So if you know haikus, they're little three-line poems based on the Japanese form. So poets have been asked to bring up to 40 haikus, so it should be a pretty interesting night. It's often really funny. So that's Monday, November 9th. I think the sign-up is at 8 p.m., and that's at Café du Soleil as well, Commercial Drive and 5th. I also wanted to mention that, and I'll mention this again next week, but next Wednesday is November 1st, and the inaugural UBC Slam. So a few people from the slam community who also attend UBC are starting up a slam right here in your own school, and it's going to be featuring the Vancouver Poetry Slam team, and that's going to be in the Buchanan building. I think I've forgotten to write it down, so I will go and check that out and get it back to you. But it's here at UBC. Cover is going to be $1, and if you want to be involved and qualify for playoffs, all you have to do is join the Speak Up group. So for more information about that, email poetryslam.ubc@gmail.com, and more on that in the coming weeks as well. So as I said, today I'm going to be showcasing some of the women involved in the Women's Invitational Poetry Slam. I've been on a bit of a kick for playing women's poetry over the past couple of weeks, and so I'm going to keep on going with it, just trekking through playing women on the show, which I really enjoy doing. I think it's great when you go to an event, especially that's only women, because the vibe tends to be a little bit different, and you just hear more of those voices that are sometimes quite marginalized, especially in Vancouver. It seems like, at least at the poetry slam and some of the open mics, there tend to be more men who are involved, which is great that the men are involved, but it's interesting to hear all women's voices in the night. So what's happening is that at the Cottage Bistro, there's going to be the Pump Trolley Comedy Troupe, and that's starting at 7 p.m., which is apparently really good too. They draw quite a crowd. And I think the cover for that is about $5. And then starting at 9 p.m., you can just stay and then watch the Women's Invitational Slam featuring Ela Barton and Maya Hirsch from Seattle. So the competitors are going to include Lisa Slater, Nora Smith-Heisler, Antoinette, Sue McIntyre, Kelsey Savage, Sonia Littlejohn, Lucia Misch, and of course me, Julie Peters. I'll be there as well. And so we're going to be playing some poetry from those lovely folks today, including myself. I know I shouldn't, but I'm self-indulgent that way. So this first piece I'm going to play is from Lisa Slater.
It was like any other February morning. Grab a coffee and the news rags, get on the SkyTrain. But as I coasted over the snow-covered landscape of the city, a story on the fifth page of 24 Hours seized me. 15-year-old Larry King was murdered at his California high school by the boy who he asked to be his Valentine. That morning, I read a story about a boy who never learned to play hide-and-seek with his identity, who never learned the queer mantra of surviving high school by living quietly. Larry grew up in a post-Willie Grace world where queer people are more often a punchline than a punching bag, so Larry learned to be fearlessly funny, chasing the boys in high heels and makeup. He was still tough. Tough like living in foster care, born to a drug-addicted mother and adopted by a father who found safe the place where his fist met Larry's jaw, and it's never been easy to be different. But Larry made it look effortless. So when he found himself crushing on the boy in first period English, he pulled him aside after class to ask him to be his valentine. But this boy found no satisfaction in saying no thank you. February 12, 2008, Brandon McInerney, 14, walked into English class armed with bullets and the word faggot on his lips. In the crushing moments before the trigger, 15-year-old Larry King learned just how dangerous his kind of love could be. Though I now sleep soundly beside a man who I expect to be with indefinitely, these stories still harden the iron in my blood into bullet holes. So for anybody who asks me how much cock I have to get before I'll call myself straight, I ask you, how many of your exes have taken beatings, moved across the province or the country, been disowned by their gods or their families because they had the courage to fall in love with you? There are too many who have died, tragic ending, broken promise early. All I have to do is intone the names Matthew Shepard or Brandon Tina to gut-wrench back to the reality that some of us have never had the luxury of loving safely. For most people, Larry King is a suspended and bespectacled old dude that they watch at night at TV, but for me, Larry King will always be the 15-year-old crushing hard on the boy with eyes the color of gunmetal. Larry, you were born to a time that wasn't ready, to a time in a country that still sees fit to criminalize what two consenting adults choose to do with their bodies. What's worse is that even with the 2020 of this hindsight, I would not wish that he do anything differently. Because for every too early epitaph, there are thousands of us buried under floorboards and hiding behind closet doors in an attempt to pass as bulletproof. Larry King has taught me anything. It's that this business of love is not to be taken lightly. And perhaps more important, that the price of being who we are, however steep, is always worth paying.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
We are now going to practice our continental way of eating. We pick up our silverware, index finger in the back of the fork, index finger on top of the knife.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, dining at the Sub is a little less formal.
The Honor Roll Sushi Bar. Get maki rolls, rice bowls, and bento boxes made fresh all day. Don't forget to ask about our party platters. Located in the basement of the Sub, the Honor Roll Sushi Bar is open Monday through Friday. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
So that was Lisa Slater, who you heard before that little break. And coming up next, another competitor at the Women's Invitational Poetry Slam tomorrow night at the Cottage Bistro. This is Lucia Misch.
Why not?
of his name. And she thought all at once that she was to blame for the rope and the giggling and the way they had kissed and the writhing and wriggling and the way she had hissed, bared her teeth, fed him apples, and laughed when he winced, how she would slap for his hand if he reached for a fig leaf and how it would land on her hip if she missed. She thought how he had worshipped the 10 pink idols of her toes. Her ankles were some commandment tossed out to sea, the one that said, "Thou shalt have no other god above me." The same went for the 2 twin peak summits of her knees. Her golden calves were heresy. Her thighs, 2 time-bomb Pharisees. And she would laugh to see him kneel and pray with twice the bite when he asked for fatherly advice on how to make her stay the night. She wondered what it would have felt like then. Those hands clasped together in a prayer when she had pried apart so he could braid her hair and touch the fair skin waiting there, how pale that touch would have felt then if those hands had already had those nails through them.
So that was Lucia Misch. Now would be a good time to mention where that UBC Poetry Slam is actually happening, because Lucia is one of the organizers. She's involved in Speak Up, the group that's putting on this show, which is going to happen every first and third Wednesday of the month. So that's happening in Mass Buchanan D. So that's the information that I didn't have before. If you know where that is, awesome. If you don't, you should find out. Coming up next, Kelsey Savage.
I was once told know us
Kelsey Savage, indeed. That was Kelsey performing at the open mic at the Youth Poetry Slam this past Monday. That's an event that the Slam does every month, and poets from 13 to 22 can compete. So Kelsey is only maybe 20. I think she just turned 20. So yeah, she's amazing for such a young poet. So it's always great to play some youth on the show as well. Youth and women in one go. Awesome. Good for audio text. Yeah. So while I'm congratulating myself, I'm going to go ahead and play one of my own poems, since I will be one of the competitors at tomorrow night's slam as well. And I don't like to toot my own horn too much, seeing as this is my own show and I don't want it to be the Julie show. It's called Audio Text. It's about the community, not just me. But sometimes I like to let's say toot my own horn. Sure, why not? This this poem is called Apologize.
The utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
We just have time for one more poet within the theme of our Women's Invitational Poetry Slam. So this is Sonia Littlejohn.
This is for all the women in the room.
Oh,
yeah. To my sisters, to remind me what it is to be a beautiful woman. Our curved float reflected in every steel pole in the shadows of dark dawns and fair sunsets. It is time to take up arms for justice by injecting play and beauty where predilections to fate and endings, misery, prevail. It is time to leave behind bubblegum daydreams and start towards healing green light. Protect yourselves in purple, queens, and focus on the source. You are my muses, doing your work in the world, sowing rainbows in storm clouds with your sunshine and rippling silver over cool lakes at midnight. Fighting with the fire of Moses when the words come like flashes of light to spark us all into crossing over to a path of purpose and preservation. Thank you, sister, for all that you are, all that you will be, and all that I see in you, giving me faith that a sisterhood can change the world.
That was Sonia Littlejohn. Come and check out all of these lovely and talented women tomorrow night at the Cottage Bistro, which is 4468 Main Street. It's a $5 to $10 sliding scale cover. And if you want to come early, come and check out the comedy show beforehand, Pump Trolley Comedy. It should be a pretty good night all around. You can laugh and then cry, depending on which show you come to. Maybe a little both. So just to end off the show, I'm going to read a little bit more from Diana Hartog. This is just from a long poem that she wrote called Oasis. She's a Canadian poet. I like to read a little bit of Canadian poetry at the beginning and ending of every audio text show because I think that there's a lot of beautiful Canadian poetry out there that Canadians themselves don't actually know very much about and are not familiar with. So I think it's nice just to hear it and without worrying too much about what it means or what it's supposed to be about or any of that stuff, just enjoy what it feels like to listen to someone reading you poetry, which is what I'm going to do right now. So this is from Diana Hartog's Oasis, the seventh day. In the shimmering heat, every plant grows jealous of its dime of shade, the coyotes slinking backwards, all needs shrunken and withdrawn into the brainstem. Though at dawn the sharp spine of a cactus will attract a single drop of dew and roll the tear down into the eye. 40 days, we are told, and 40 nights. Christ consumed only his hunger and poured cool thirst over his shoulders as he sat studying the palm of the human hand. A thirst for knowledge. 1. Grain by grain, and gaining momentum with a shudder of sand down its flank, the white dune inches south, wormy with lizards. From the cool, loose interior, the reptiles slither fringe-toed to the surface in air. Here they arch their necks, flood with warmth, and pursue the single blank thought of their species, the two beads of mercury unblinking. The creature holds still, perfectly still. As I climb and stoop for the wizened leather glove, petite the two eyes unbuttoned at the wrist. 2. In the sky floats the white moon, thin as a wafer of communion melting on the tongue, shrapnel lured from afar, from some previous disaster. Or perhaps a moon of our own rib, as I would hazard, when tethered and swung in an arc from the mind's third eye, a moon along the lines of a groove worn in the blue irreducible, a moat followed by the longing of oceans and the surface, disturbed of every single cup of tea. But I could be wrong. Chimney Ranch. Under a vast black sky sparkling with tomorrow's ashes, tonight's stars lies a grave bowered by tamarisk. Build the chimney first, he is known to have said, kneeling to lay twigs upon crumpled news of the quick. I find him sleeping on the roof with an arm thrown over his face to ward off the Pleiades, those black-skirted sisters who in his youth fed him from a trine of spoons the taste of brass, of lead, and of Mercury's skittish absence. Choose, they insisted, choose. Alone, in scanning overhead the firing neurons, the expanding limits of the brain, I decide there is time, plenty of time left, as now I lay me down to refuse. So those were a couple of poems from Diana Hartog's long poem, so they're sections in a larger long poem. And that brings us to the end of another episode of Audio Text, your Canadian writing show here on CITR 101.9 FM. In Vancouver. So thanks again for listening. My name is JC Peters. Please podcast the show if you would like to hear it again or hear any archived shows or hear it in the future when you can't make it on a Wednesday evening. The websites are citr.ca or jcpeters.ca, which is my website, and there are some more recordings on there as well. And otherwise, thanks so much for listening. Sam Squanch's Hideaway is coming up next.
Oops. Then there's the utter misery.
Carrie, not in Carrie. Carrie, when I cried, If I can't marry Carrie Brown, believe I'd rather die.
You have wandered into the folk oasis. Welcome to it.
Stop the world and let me on.
You are indeed listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I've been trying to keep my mouth shut, baby. I've been trying to change my dark ways, maybe.
Yes, 8 to 10 p.m. every Wednesday night. It's me, Val, hosting 2 hours of eclectic roots music. Folk Oasis.
That right there was a band called The Lovely Feathers. And Julie so lovingly left that for myself for the start of the show. And good job, JC. I like that. I know nothing about this band, and this is why I need to stop existing in a vacuum. I'm telling you. The Lovely Feathers, they are Canadian. I wish I knew more about them, except for the fact, well, what do I know? They are on a label called Love Your Diary, and I'm going to try to find out more about them. I'm going to maybe Wikipedia them, see what they've got going on, and awesome.